December 4th, 2009, a SWAT from Pedro show. SWAT from Pedro show. But I'm not in Pedro. Actually, I'm in the Tuscany part of Italy. And I got one more gig to go. Oh, yeah. I started the show off with John Coltrane, Stella Regions. And then we heard Zoom with the demo version. Andrea Belfi, who is sitting right across from me now. And that's why I'm doing this last gig. I've done six altogether. Spanios on Mil del Mar Nile. We're in the house, actually. What is the name of the town?
Nipozzano.
Nipozzano, yeah.
Yeah.
And Jacobo?
Jacopo. And Andrea.
And Andrea, their pad.
Yeah.
Very old pad. They also do music here. Many projects, a studio in the basement. We'll get into it more later, but this was actually a plan for us. Because besides six gigs, we also made first album. And but we played there at Zoom. Andrea, to tell the people some about the project, how you came on to it. I mean, Stefano's over here.
About Zoom.
Or the whole project. Because you brought this song to the project.
Yeah. I've been thinking about the Sogno del Marinaio when you guys invited me to play in this project, and I thought why I would like to you to play some of my composition, because I thought that it could fit. They could fit in the project because I know Stefano and I knew some of your solo project, your open-minded thinking of music and open-minded approach to the music. So I thought it was a good idea to propose Zoom. It's the first time that this song it has been played by a band.
Ah,
realized.
Ah.
And so trippy.
But it comes from the invite. Maybe I'm putting cart before the horse. We say maybe. Stay. We should talk with you first about that song you're doing right now, the Flauta Page.
Right. Like this, everything happened because, logistically, there was this festival that asked me to participate and to propose a project.
Oh, well, we should go back even before.
Oh, yeah.
I know you.
Yeah, I met Mike in. I met you in 2005, and I was driving, right? Yeah, I mean, you were driving. I was
you're in the bowl with us.
The direction.
Second man tour called Amar Cur Toro in Europe too, and the Sea Cures All is in the Niktash's book in the Hand of Dante. And it was my second opera, and I did a Europe version, and six Italia gigs, and. Stay was on for five of them.
Yeah.
So he's actually riding in the boat with us. He's actually in the diary. Not as a character, but he writes.
I wrote my first diary, actually.
So, yeah.
It was the first one.
That's where he meets me. Now this year, you get this invitation.
The Collateral Festival. And we stay in touch, after the 2005, we exchanged.
I played much of your music on my show.
Yeah, music, and we did some small pieces together, for fun.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I want to ask Mike if he wants to come and join me for this festival. And then I thought, well, it's a good idea to have a trio, to play with the drum, and I thought Andrea is really the man. You know, he's a great drummer, great musicality. This is it. I mean.
So the festival, and then why not do some more gigs, and then this led to why not make album?
Yeah.
Of course, we needed material to play for the gigs. But then this stuff came on. Yeah, why not do the whole deal? The whole enchilada, we say. Huh? So if people are wondering, because I get every gig on this thing, I get asked how this come about. So people, on the listeners on the show, might say, hey, what is this? Why is he in Italy? What are you doing? How'd that come around? So thank you, Stan, for doing this. And I want to play some of your music now. Okay?
Okay.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was Nats Partsekunde, Andrea Belfi. Tell us something about that. It's one of four parts of an album called Nats.
Yeah.
When did you do this?
When? I recorded
last year?
No, it was released in 2000. It has been released in 2008, but I recorded it in 2007. And it is the result of 2-3 years of gigs.
Okay.
I built
material for gigs.
Yeah, material for gigs. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I built this this live set.
Yeah.
During the last 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and I've been playing it for like 3 years live.
Yeah.
And then I came up. I recorded it. This live set. So it's a composition that I repeated for many times.
Yeah. Why name Nats?
Nats because Nats is the connection between the composition, composition elements, and the instrument elements itself. It's the connection between the composition, the instrument,
creation,
and it's the creation
performing.
Process.
And working it.
Yeah. So it's everything is connected because I started composing it with the different materials, and then when, for example, another instrument came up in the live set, I changed some elements of the compositions.
Right.
I used some notes from some percussion I used to, and like for example, I used some percussion which with a precise pitch.
Yeah.
And I use this pitch as a note to compose. To create some compositions.
Yeah.
So, for example, I use this note and I harmonized it.
Yeah.
So.
It's a concept.
Yeah, it's a concept.
Yeah, great.
It's a concept.
And before that. We heard Last Days, Stefan Palia.
It's a piece I recorded in 2005.
Yeah.
I wanted to record something like with a strong amplification, three amplifiers, and I had just in the mind some melodies, and I went into this big, huge squat with a friend, and I picked up the guitar and I played.
Yeah.
And I selected like 20 minutes of these things I liked, and this was a project called Last Days, and that becomes in 2005. Then I did Last Days Volume 2 in 2009 and the Volume 3 in 2008. Yeah. Actually, the three came before the second one. and it's the idea is like like a diaries of pieces, very extemporary on the guitar.
Right.
And in my mind, the thematic elements that connect all these pieces is something about like death, but as in a sense of transformation. You know, not. But also you will feel from the song, from the piece, I think there is like a strong emotive things. About like very human point of view, something ancestral. Yeah. other pieces I do were more like kind of I was more kind of detached from the music I was doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not so. But this music
not
is
personal.
Really, yeah, it's really blues for me. You know, it's really
like blues. Yeah.
Yeah, it has that feeling.
You're part of your own story and getting about story. Yeah. Andrea, your story of music. When did you get started with music?
I started when I was 14, 14, okay. 15, between.
Oh, I should tell people you live in Verona. Are you from Verona?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
from Verona.
Verona's in the northeast part of Italy.
Yeah,
kind of by the in the mountains. Near.
Yeah, you have.
You have flat, you have hills and mountains, lake, everything.
Everything.
Yeah, very
but
close.
But not so close to sea.
Not so close. Yeah, not so close to sea.
A little distance. Not too far, though.
Not too far. Venice
an hour?
Is just 1 hour. Yeah,
an hour. No. Okay, so you're 14 years old in Verona.
Yeah, I started with with Bad Religion.
So the band.
Yeah, the band. Listening the first different listening. I mean, the first underground listening were connected with skateboard and hardcore punk and skateboard. Yeah, well, I started as a young
you
skater.
You do the drums.
Yeah, and then I started playing drums. But I've been trying to search new music constantly.
But at 14, you're just probably trying to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, what was your first drum set?
My first drum set was a very cheap and bad drum set.
Did, how'd you get it?
How? I convinced my father.
Your pop.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Pop, can I get some drums?
Yeah.
Now that's pretty bold because drums are not so quiet.
Yeah.
And so, like, I want to bring this into the house for
my
you
neighborhood,
to start beating
man. My neighborhood.
Beating the hell out of these things.
Yeah, everybody, I mean, I used to live in a, like, 200 people neighborhood.
Yeah.
And they all knew about my drum set and my drum kit. Yeah.
What kind? Somebody's
no
must have made it. No label.
No label.
But it was drums. It wasn't pots and pans.
No, it was drums. Yeah.
Did you ever do pots and pans?
Not pots and pans.
Okay.
I started with just drumsticks.
A lot of cats I've talked to, they started with pots and pans.
Just drumsticks.
I think Elvin Jones started with
really
in that different drummer documentary. He talks about it, and then his sister helped him with some money, and he had a paper route. He delivered newspapers and got the money together.
Okay.
So he could get some drums.
Yeah. I know some people that in the old days when drum kits were really expensive, they used to use cans like cardboard cans, like from
cardboard boxes
from the things you used to clean. You used to wash clothes.
You know, what's
like
his name? Eddie Cochran.
Eddie Cochran.
Yeah, Summertime Blues.
Yeah.
I heard that the snare drum wouldn't record well, so he's using a box. Very famous song. Come on, everybody. And he's got a few songs that are part of early rock and roll history.
Wow.
And yeah, can you believe?
Cool.
He died young.
Yeah.
Eddie Cochran, unfortunate.
Yeah.
Great talent. So,
yeah.
You get a drum set, and right away you want to start playing to the Bad Religion record.
Yeah, no, I started with my own band.
Right away.
No cover band. Yeah, like.
As soon as you got the drum kit.
Yeah. 5 months later, we came up with a gig.
So you start a band, right?
Yeah.
You weren't just privately playing the records.
No. I started with a band. Yeah, right after I started.
Guys from school?
Not from school. From my. I mean, I had some friends.
Neighborhood.
Neighbors. Neighbors.
Okay. So, do you have name this band?
The first band was called Wallride.
Wallride.
Well, right? Yeah, because of the skate time. Because it was a skateboard, hardcore punk.
And like riding a skateboard on a wall.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's a trick.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. Old school trick.
Yeah.
And then I played in many other very small bands.
Yeah.
But
you guys started writing songs right away.
Yeah.
And you, on drums, writing songs. And this is not typical.
Yeah.
Usually, a guitar player brings in the song.
We were all collaborating. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first song you wrote, or you were part of writing?
No. Actually, I can't remember.
I can remember my... Actually, really? I only wrote one song my whole teen years. Culture was different in the 70s. You copied records.
Yeah.
You copied records.
What's the name of your first song?
It was called Mr. Bass, King of Outer Space. It was terrible. I can't remember the music. I can't even remember the words exactly, but it was something about playing a bass solo near the end of the song. The band is blown away off the stage. The bass is so loud and powerful, they're blown off the stage by the bass. Yeah, it was a weird song. Because, I've said this many times on my show, but because I want to relate to people, my first thing. And the bass used to be very low in the hierarchy of band.
Mm.
It's where you put your... kind of retarded friend, like right wing, right field in Little League, where nobody hits the ball, or not many times. Yeah, that's what that was kind of like bass, where we felt like every band needed a bass. Well, actually, D Boone's mother put me on bass. I didn't know what it was. We saw it on the album covers. Every band had one. So I didn't know they had bigger strings. So I think this writing this song was kind of. Dealing with my inferiority complex, feelings of being small.
Yeah.
So the bass will, like beneath the underdog, I'm the underdog, I come up. And it was insane. Not till punk I start writing songs. This is before there was punk. And I didn't know that lame guys could write songs. I thought what you did was you copied records. Sort of like building models.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it looks like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. Wall Ride, how long did this last?
Just for 1 year.
Wow.
I can remember the first the lyrics, the in Italian. Two. Yeah, it was the first song. It was talking about how we used to go to parties. And to break down parties, other parties.
Crash parties.
Crash parties. Yeah, stupid.
So it was jokes. A song about,
Yeah, it's like, I have a lot of fun.
Yeah, but you guys did gigs.
Yeah.
Now, what were these, parties or clubs?
No, small clubs, pubs.
Wow.
Yeah.
we didn't play for a long time. We didn't know. There was arena rock. You couldn't go to the arena and say, hey, can I play here?
Yeah.
Long Beach Arena or the Forum.
Yeah.
Couldn't do that. Not until punk I knew about clubs. Wow. So at 14 years old, you're playing gigs.
15, yeah.
15 years old.
15.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So do you start doing music in school?
Yes. Yes, in school.
Like high school? Yes. Start taking classes?
Studying,
yeah.
not just playing. I went to music school and then I started studying music.
Taking classes.
Yeah,
of course. Great.
And
so you had teachers. Did you have a personal drum teacher?
Yeah.
Right away.
Yeah, from the beginning.
You remember his name, the first one? His name. Give him credit.
Yeah, Lelio. Lelio. Yeah, Lelio. It has been the drummer of the old school Italian punk bands.
Yeah.
Quite bad.
But he showed you some stuff.
Yeah. He was a really cool guy. I mean, he is a really cool guy.
When you're starting the drums, who was some of your heroes? Who did you like? Who inspired you on drums? What drummers did you like? From records. Not guys that you know personally, but maybe people you were hearing on records.
I honestly have to say that the first drummer I really liked was Trey Cool. Green Day, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're from younger generation.
Yeah, 94, yeah.
Yeah. Because now what, you're 30?
30, yeah. And then I moved to rock, to
Tower Records.
Yeah, but post I was into Chicago post-rock scene for a while. And then...
Tortoise.
Yeah, Tortoise and Gus the Soul.
And John McIntyre.
John McIntyre music, yeah. And this was a big input to me. So I started discovering many many other musicians, and luckily European musicians also. American and music.
After high school, you continue? Did you go to university and do music?
Yeah, in Milan. I studied in Milan for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And there I started playing, making electronic music also, and discovering new improvised music.
So off the drums, using what, synthesizers?
Yes, synthesizers, computer.
Yeah.
And I started composing electronic music.
Were you part of other bands? After Wall Ride.
Yeah.
Some of these bands.
Yeah, I knew two American guys.
Yeah.
Soldiers. Yeah. It's been a quiet hard time because they were soldiers.
Yeah.
And I've never thought about being friend of soldiers. You know, like I used to. To be part of punk hardcore scene connected to political thoughts.
Yeah.
So being friend of these guys was a little strange to me. Yeah, trippy, but I learned a lot actually. Yeah.
Well, they played before they were soldiers.
One of them, he's still like. Friend.
Yeah.
He lives in Washington D.C.
Yeah.
He's the one who introduced me to the Chicago scene. Because he brought some CDs from U.S.
But you made a band.
Trio? With him. Yeah, trio. Yeah.
What was it called?
Expatriate.
Expatriate.
Yeah.
That's a cat who leaves home.
Yeah. Now they.
Did you guys make recordings?
No.
Mainly for gigs.
Yeah, mainly. We just played in our practice room.
Just to play joy.
Yeah, of course, for joy.
At the Milan.
Milan, I studied art.
Did you make bands there?
No. I quit for like 3-4 years. I didn't play live shows for some years, and then I started. A new band, Rosalina Mar, in 2001. And with this band, I played quite a lot.
Do we have some music, don't we?
I have, yeah.
Did you give me I think you gave me a CD.
Yeah, I have some music.
Okay, we'll play some of that. Yeah. Because you were with this band a little while, right?
Yeah, 7 years.
Seven
years.
And toward Europe, Italy,
Italy, France, Spain, but mainly Italy. And then I started developing my own solo projects and different electroacoustic music projects.
Right.
In the meantime.
Solo.
Yeah. In the meantime.
And that's mainly what you do now. You have a website.
Yes, it's chocolateguns.com.
Yeah, chocolateguns.com.
Guns made by chocolate.
Well, I'm just telling people so they can go and check out because you list a bunch of your projects.
Yeah.
You can see the body of his work.
Yeah.
Interesting. You start off as a guy just wanting to play drums, and then you end up all these different ways of doing music.
Yeah, actually, so I started playing drums because there was no drummer in the band.
Drummer, so somebody had to do the job. Because the drum, a lot of times, in my experience is drummers support guys.
Mm.
They always help
the
guy who comes up with the ideas. So for composer to be drummer is to me very interesting. It's not out of the typical. You know, I need somebody to play drum. And what you're looking for in this drummer is who's got some natural feel. But you're not expecting them to be so much writing melodies and songs, lyrics and stuff like this.
Yeah.
So that's great. You stepped out of the stereotype role.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, I think maybe the situation. You know, more open-minded nowadays for young people to be in music.
Yeah.
Not so much roles like me writing this stupid song because of this hierarchy I felt. You know, I felt, and I remember the Richard Hell album, and wow, this guy, the bass player, is the leader of the band. He writes a song. It amazed me. I didn't know a lot of that. There was not a lot, we say, role models to look to. So I put a picture of Richard Hell on my bass, and was like, he did it. You know, and then I had my friend. I didn't even think of myself as music. I did music to a musician. I mean, I did music to be with my friend. You know, that's how you hang out.
Yeah.
You share time.
Yeah.
And now this idea of music as expression, I see more and more open to young people. It's not something they have to find after much life. It's right available to them right away, maybe. That's so great to hear about that. Did you ever have challenges, problems?
Problems.
Yeah, that made you want to stop.
Sometimes I'm thinking about it.
No, but even when you were young.
When I was young.
Yeah, like you have to do other jobs. You have to make a life.
Yeah, actually. Luckily, when I studied in a music school in Verona, and they decided to bring me as a teacher 6 years ago, so I was lucky. So, but at that time I was doing other jobs, like cooking a pizzeria.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know about that.
I know. Postman.
Not so much cooking pizzeria. I did work in one, but I was like washing the dishes.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, they fired me 3 times in a restaurant. I don't know why. So I decided to. I mean, I have to stop with the food. So no food. I just eat food. I just go to restaurants.
You cook so good. You've cooked us some chows on this trip.
Yeah, but it's not the point. Job is different.
Yeah, I know. You're doing it to live, too.
Yeah.
You're not. But the other way, you're doing it to live, too, but it's for these little pieces of art, these metal paper works of art.
Yeah.
They're all kind of the same, but they're very valuable, I hear. In fact, the landlord, it's kind of only art they understand. Yeah, the little coin ones and the little notes. We call them dead presidents.
What?
Yeah, we call them dead presidents.
Dead presidents.
Yeah, that's who's on them. Their faces. Mr. Washington's on
the board. Yeah. Okay. Dead
president. Mr. Franklin, though, was never president. He's on the 100. So I don't know what that's about. Yeah, so you have to make these kind of compromises and to make a life, and sometimes it's very tough, and cats have to give up music. I think little Jimmy Scott, a great singer, was a doorman for many years at a hotel.
Yeah.
And then he had a comeback, but he had to quit music. He was Lionel Hampton's singer. He had just a weird kind of a problem, challenge. He never had puberty, adolescence, his voice never changed. It's a weird condition. So that's why he has that really high... You know his singing? Very unique way. But he had to quit for many years because of the situation of living. So it's always interesting. A lot of people... That's one of the reasons they have to stop music. They have to do other things.
Yeah.
Some people can keep it as hobby on side.
Yeah. I mean...
I think it's some kind of drive you have, how much you want to do it. I think some great... Ives? Charles Ives? I think he was insurance?
Yeah.
And Mr. Kafka worked in an insurance place while he was writing?
I think he even called it, he had a metaphor for it, the two desks. Yeah. So to be single about music sometimes is a lucky situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're getting to teach music. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get to play.
No. Yeah, I feel quite lucky. Not so much money, but
enough to live.
Okay. Yeah, enough to live.
Yeah. And sometimes maybe it gets existential. Why am I alive? No, you know what I mean. What's life for? Is it about just making sure the landlord is okay? We want to help them out, you know. The butcher, the fisherman, we want to help them out. But then maybe you need expression, and the creating the art drive is very strong. Yeah. It's weird. Isn't that existential thought? It's like every person decides why the life means to them. Mr. A Danish man, Soren Kierkegaard.
Oh, yeah.
And then maybe 100 or so years later, a Frenchman. No, maybe 150 years. Maybe more. But Mr. Sartre. Or Sartre, I guess you say. Yeah. And he has a different angle on it, but this the idea of existential, I think, is strong in art nowadays. Before, a lot of this area of Tuscany, Pedro, the boss, needs something. Maybe people can't read, so we teach a religion with a picture. And I have a lot of money, and maybe I have good reputation, so why don't you help that reputation by giving some art. And then, Michelangelo and these guys, they're almost working for them, right? But I think they let their own thing out too. Sistine Chapel, I'm going to do it my way. Right? I make Adam the same size as God. And it's kind of personal. They say that there's a lot of personal things in his art, even though he's working for a throne, that he got his own thing in. And nowadays, with the existential thinking, maybe all you have to do is making sure you can challenge stuff, and you just have a vision and try to realize it. Also, collaborate. I think the musicians are looking for this too, to work with other musicians, other ideas too. It's not just, it's a weird balance, I think. But the way you got there, through the punk, that's great. Yeah, because I didn't know anyone. By meeting more and more musicians, they come through punk. Yeah, there was no punk. There were Stooges. That's how we kind of found our way. Thank you. first hour, December 4, 2009, Wild from Pedro show. Your story's going to be next. But hang tight for hour two. December 4th, 2009, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Watt from Pedro show. We're here in Firenze in Florence. Yeah, that was Spanish. It's like politely saying shut up. No, you make all the sounds you want. We're in a kitchen here out in the country. This is very beautiful, even though it's rainy. And you might be hearing us chowing, because it's being cooked right now. But we started the second hour off with some bands from here. These were cats who came to the gig last night. Exfila.
Yes.
Connected with the radio, Nova Radio. When we were here 4.5 years ago in town, yeah. We played a disco thing called Flow. But we went on the radio station, and same cats, some were still involved. In fact, Vani did our sound, our fourth member, and he's got a band, and that's what we just heard, Oboe, with the Wild Cheek. And then some cats after the gig gave me their music. They appreciated the gig. I liked the gig a lot. It was a trippy one. It was great. Really, all five gigs are the experiences. I've got the diary written, but I'm waiting for Andrea Stefano to add their words, because I don't want to be, oh solo mio about it. So it'll be up at the Hoot page soon, mikewatt.com. Before Oboe, we heard Whales Are Watching by Bad Apple Sons. And we started the second hour off with Naples Nipples by Topsy the Great. So, grazie, friends and bands, for getting out there and letting your freak flag fly. Now, I have Stefano with me. Andrea's still here, but he's working on a computer, and he will be listener now. Because, Stefano, I want to know about your journey in music. How did you get started?
Actually, I started with pans and pots when I was very young.
And where? Genoa?
Genoa, yeah. But I was playing this when I went to the countryside with my grandmother and father. I was
banging on the
banging
pots.
Banging a lot. Yeah. But was not very interested into music. I was just interested into, make just big noise.
Moving your body? Oh, making noise.
Yeah. And
you were interested in sound, maybe not music.
In fact, my father gave me for a present a keyboard, but I really don't like that. I prefer other kind of.
How old were you?
I was seven, eight.
Okay.
I was just playing
Right.
Then when I.
And right now you're 30.
30. Yeah. Then, in the medium school, a friend of mine gave me a cassette with, I think it was an Aerosmith cassette.
Aerosmith.
And I thought, wow, there is great sound in that, And I thought, wow, this is cool, I like this. And I really went into that, and I started to discover it, all the rock from Led Zeppelin, this kind of band, a lot of punk from England. Clash, the Pistols, these kind of things. And I wanted to start to play music at that time, because there were other friends who were playing, and I wanted to play drums, actually. But, I was living in a small apartment in a flat, so it was not possible. And I thought, maybe the bass could be the right one. But, my father was kind of terrified by me going into music, these kind of things. And I had long hair at that time.
Yeah.
He told me that I asked him, please buy a bass. I wanna play bass. And he just said, just if you cut your hair. And so I arrived.
You really cut it. Bald.
Yeah. And then from that I started. I was 13.
What did you think of that?
The
all
shape.
The way off. Yeah. Yeah.
That's strange. My mother was shit, you really want to play?
Just
funny.
A suggestion. So you start playing bass. You get in a band? Or is it home?
Yeah. Immediately a band. Actually, the first band, they were older guys than me. And they didn't have a singer,
Yeah.
So I went there to sing, But like 2 days after, they called me and they told me, well, the bass player doesn't want to play anymore. Could you play bass? Yeah, yes, I want to play bass, sure.
How about, this is right when you got your bass.
Yeah,
it's
like
a coincidence.
Like 2 months later.
Yeah. Wow.
And I...
What would they call this band?
The band, at the beginning, I don't remember the first name. Okay. But I remember we took it this name, like, Free Joint Bunglers was the band.
Free Joint Bunglers.
Yeah. And we were doing like...
You know, bungle, right? You screw up.
Yeah.
You make a mistake is when you bungle.
Yeah. It was fun.
That's crazy.
We were doing some our pieces.
Yeah, right.
But also some cover, like you know, like from we were playing some Iron Maiden stuff, some Guns N' Roses stuff, yeah. Some Led Zeppelin stuff. You know, this kind of
did you
big band things.
Have teacher? Did you know somebody playing bass?
Not at the beginning. Like so for the first, the first 4 years, no.
It was very difficult for me to even hear bass on albums when I was starting. I couldn't tell what the bass parts were.
Yeah, in fact, I bought some scores.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the first scores I bought was like one from Iron Maiden. There was 5 pieces.
Yeah.
Not tabulator, just the scores.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was not very practiced, so I started to study all these things and I was there. And but it was good because I learned.
Yeah.
A lot. And with the cassette on and the score, I started to understand.
Right. That's how we learned. We didn't even have scores. We just have to listen and listen and listen. Some was very difficult, especially 8 tracks. Yeah, because you couldn't go backwards.
Right.
And like 15 minute, or I don't know, 12 minutes, it would switch to the next track. So you'd have to go through all that track again before click it back. Very difficult. Very fucking difficult for me. In the records... Yeah, we didn't have software to loop it. That's what I do now to learn songs. What about school? Did you take music in school?
Later, after the high school, I went to conservatory.
Yeah.
And I studied double bass.
Yeah.
Electronic music.
Yeah.
And I finished last year. I graduated last year.
So in Bologna.
Bologna. Yeah.
What about after the Free Joint Bunglers?
Because
that was you joining somebody's band.
Yeah.
Right?
Did
you start any bands?
I started. Then I started another band, like always in Genoa. By the time I was living in Genoa.
Yeah.
That was kind of more like more funk metal oriented.
Yeah.
Kind of like. Primus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of things. I was really into that. There was this singer that was... He was very crazy. He was working on boat, you know, for a long time during the... And he was always really drunk. And he was much older than us. He was like 22 years old. We were like 14, 15. Kind of guys.
Yeah.
And we started... From that time, I started to be really... be interested in psychedelic music and stuff, you know.
Were you doing gigs?
Yeah, the first gig we did, not very much actually, but we did a gig in the occupied University of Genoa.
Yeah.
By that time, there was like this death metal band called Deadness. And that was my first gig ever. And that metal scene was pretty strong in Genoa.
In Genoa.
Yeah. The metal in general was was huge.
Songwriting?
Not lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, not the words. Just
music.
Just the music.
You started? Really early?
Yeah.
Wow.
I never... But
on the bass. Did you write on the bass?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. At the beginning, yes. Then, with the time...
Yeah.
I got more into the thinking of the sounds more than the
you know,
the instrument itself. Yeah.
And that's why I pick up guitar. I started with the guitar because for the kind of sound I wanted to.
More voice, more larger more, range of voice.
More possibilities and stuff. And
did you record?
At that time?
Yeah.
No.
Never been in the studio.
No. Well, actually, with some friends of Sardinia, we were like 15 years, 16 years. I went to Sardinia, but because my parents is from there.
Yeah, right.
And I went there, and with some friend of ours, we spent like a couple of months like playing music, and then we went into a studio and we record 3-4 pieces. Like that, I think it was one of the first one.
First time you recorded. Yeah,
but then I was recording at home with these four tracks,
yeah,
tape machine, like.
Great. Help you compose. When you got into the guitar, who were you inspired by? What were you listening to?
At a certain point I discovered like the avant-garde scene, you know, from the past, like the minimalist kind of things, like La Montagne.
That's what Iron Maiden leads you to. First the Aerosmith, then the Iron Maiden, then the avant-garde. So what kind of guitars?
Oh, guitarist in specific, I discovered it like people like Rafael Toral, like Jim O'Rourke, like Kevin Drum, Lauren Connors, many, but still I was very much into rock and punk. At the time also, when I started to listen more to avant-garde scene and tradition, I also discovered a lot of stuff from punk and independent music that I didn't know, like the Minutemen, for example, but also some bigger stuff like Velvet Underground. I was not
60s music.
Yeah, I was not listening to that when I was like 13, 14. I started like when I was 17, you know, to retake a lot of stuff that was happening in the 70s and in the 80s of interesting music. Because when I was a kid, the 80s was like, the radio stuff was like gigantic, it was like full of shit. And I never thought...
Oh, it's different now.
Yeah, no, it's not different. But maybe I'm different, you know.
Oh, because we learn where the off switch is.
Yeah.
You just turn it off.
But then
this is kind of a solution.
Switch it off.
Yeah. People can tell me, oh, television is so terrible. I know solution. So, yeah, you felt big pressure from commercial music in the 80s. And so
I was not attracted, you know. I was a kid, and for me, music was boring.
Maybe that's all there was. You didn't know there was these other.
Except for like few songs like Franco Battiato and Gian Nannini and stuff that I was listening when I was a kid because my parents has on their tape. But apart from that, really, the only my experience to music was just from radio stuff, you know, that kind. And I thought, what? Playing music is so boring. But then, when I discovered like other things, I found other channel to get in contact with the music, you know.
Well, what about playing outside? You moved to Bologna. But when you were in Genoa, did you start playing other towns with bands?
No.
That comes later.
Yeah.
Because you end up going to the U.S. Jerry, you did too. We didn't talk about that. But you went to the U.S.
Yeah, the first
time. In fact, you guys went together. We'll get to that later. You guys went together, but...
The first time, because then I moved to Bologna, and at a certain point, I started to play with this band, Settlefish. Band from Italy?
Yeah, Settlefish.
And we did a tour with them in the States. 30 days. 30 gigs. And it was like much more indie rock oriented kind of things.
Yeah.
And actually was I have quit to play with Ben for a couple of years by that time. and was like not play, just playing for my in my room, you know,
because
I was studying at the university and I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, so I was kind of depressed, and so at a certain point I said, no, I want to play, you know, I miss this so much, so I quit university and restarted
doing
again,
dance, and doing music, and you went on tour.
And we went on tour, and then I went again, like in 2005, for a residency in Providence,
Rhode Island.
There was this kind of scene of Black Forest, Black Sea, Mad Boy, Lightning Ball. Because my first solo record was released by a label from Providence called Last Visible Dog.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay.
And then we went again with Andrea, like last year in New York.
Yeah.
And we did a week tour, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, with Jeffrey Alexander from Black Forest, Black Sea. And we did a record with David Grubbs in New York, and we played the gigs with him. And we played also with Marina Rosenfeld, composer from New York, which I collaborated in Italy some years ago, and Margarida Garcia, double bass player from Portugal, that now lives in New York.
Wow. Wow, so you got to experience U.S. through music.
Yeah.
That's like for me, how I found Europe was through music. So great thing of that. Because when I was a boy, I would read interviews with musicians, and they always talked about how terrible touring was. You know, hotels and all this. And then I started to tour as a young punk rocker. And D. Boone and me were like, this is great. We were from working people and couldn't take vacations and stuff. Never saw anything. And this was our way of seeing first U.S. and then, great. And then overseas and other lands.
Uh-huh.
Well, first other land was Canada. And man, this was a great, why is this lame? Like, they don't like touring. They don't like seeing these other places. It was amazing. Side benefit maybe, besides getting play with your buddy and find expression, it was this thing of, it was a vehicle to go and explore and learn. Amazing. There's a thing about the U.S. After college, young people come over and backpack. They see Europe by backpack or something like this. And here I was getting to do it because I was in this, a mission, right? This band, music, E. Boone, and it was an incredible thing to go out and tour. Actually, there's a thing called couchsurfing.com, and even though they're not musicians, they kind of use our techniques because we had to jam Econo. Not a lot of monies, but you're still going to do these gigs so you can't get houses and shit. And now people are doing that just to get around and see things, other towns, other lands, or different parts of their homeland. You know, and it was great, profound effect on my conscience. Yeah. We have Cha now, so pardon the chomping. Hashi. Right, the connections you make through music.
In
what starts out as very private, very personal thing, all of a sudden becomes a means to make connections. That's why I know you two right now. It's the magic of music. It's social a little bit.
Yeah.
Not so personal, but
yeah.
Social way of connecting with other people. Somehow, especially when younger, you feel you don't fit, or only Tibun understands me. And through music I can find other people that are kind of similar, but still are very individualistic. Okay, I can't find the hashi. I don't know. You want to expand on that idea?
Yeah, what can I say? Because of this, like, interesting, the fact that you are doing something together, that you are focused on something with someone else, it is different from you. You start to learn a lot from the people you have around.
Yeah. The arts in general.
It really changes you.
What about, I know that you collaborated in stuff besides music, what, theater?
Yeah. It happens with dance, theater. I also needed to do it because I need money to survive, you know.
That landlord, we have to help him.
Exactly.
Even the name, isn't it funny? Landlord. Kind of dangerous. The lord of the land. We have to help him. Almost mandatory. They will not negotiate other form of reality.
That's what's about to be a lord.
True. When you were young and you took up that bass and was hearing the Iron Maiden, did you imagine how you are now?
Yes and no. For some reason, yes, because I think, this is what I want to do. You know, I want to play. I want to play with other people. But then, I didn't thought I could have played in this way. And
I had no idea.
My musical ideas. Taking that direction, you know. I always was very attracted from the noise sound, the sound in general, more than the musicality, the notes and this kind of things. But
it's
kind of a process. I mean, it was a long process too.
It's 2009 and it's 100th anniversary of Futurist Manifesto. And these guys were exploring a music that was kind of, right? This noise kind of stuff. Sounds of the factories or whatever. Kind of first time. Right?
Yeah.
Before there's these very strong traditions. And Mr. Bach and so on.
Yeah. There were some example of noise into the music, but was not so taking out that, you know. This is a new point, this is a new statement, you know.
I think maybe it started in Europe, especially it started in the church with chants.
The singing, Gregorian chants.
And there are more and more refinement, and the futurist people break this tradition. They did it with a painting and the sculpture. Actually, come by. People curious about roots of punk should maybe investigate futurist movement, because I think there's serious roots.
Yeah.
That come out of this. Make a schism, make a break with some tradition.
There are many, many similarities.
Yeah.
Because it's a cultural movement that was taking in consideration all the all the arts form, all the, was a kind of way of thinking, mm-hmm. you know.
And then after that, the Dada, then the Surrealist. In a way, punk is, in that tradition, it became its own tradition. What they call modern. Mm-hmm. I think the idea before, maybe more empirical, this idea there's certain things that are good. And then a philosophy in art comes, the listener decides, more this existential idea, the listener or the one viewing the art, experience it, is almost as important as the one creating. He gives a meaning.
Right.
Yeah. So you have very conceptual stuff. Not worrying about the ruler, the yardstick of empirical value. Mr. Aristotle, right? There's certain things that are good and we measure everything to this. No, no. Maybe put it out there, let them decide. Maybe be provocative. Maybe just for the sake of pushing the mind to make itself up and no more like just praise what's considered good. Sometimes just be contrary. Oh, they like it? I'm gonna make this because they don't. You know, this whole yeah. idea of what is meaning, what yeah. is value. Futurist people. With the gig lesson is. I read about this man when I was young. Because in punk scene, I met art. In the 70s punk scene, there was a lot of art people. Like Raymond Pettibone, my best friend. And talking about these things that had come many years before. Even before Stooges. Even before Little Richard. And we say parallels. We could see parallels. Not exact thinking, of course. But, wow. The only thing new is you finding out about it.
Spec words.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Letters.
Letters. Words. Yeah. A trippy thing. Thanks.
Thank
for your
you.
Story.
Thanks, and, man. Thanks for the very good chow.
Oh, yeah, very good chow. Bon appetito.
Thank you, man. Bon appetito.
Bon appetito.
And we'll play some music and then Jacobo yeah. story next.
No, like big names.
Yes, I know, I know. This, I mean, I was into Clash too. When I was 13, they were making their last album. It's not their last album, but it's their last album. It's Combat Rock. You know? Yeah. And I was into that. Then I discovered what they did before. And then while I was discovering what they did before, I got into Crass.
Mm.
You know, we are the Crass, not the Clash. And say, hey, what are these stupids talking about? Let me listen. And then I say, wow, that's it. So all the rest for me was shit, you know. I was really a conservative
okay. punk,
hardcore punk from Italy, from Turin, and
yeah.
from England. The States were difficult to me. I just
yeah.
loved Dead Kennedys, you know, for example. And I didn't listen. Yeah, I didn't listen. Maybe the early DRI, you know, things like that. But I was really into anarcho punk music from England. And so metal was shit. But I remember when I was 17, my girlfriend told me, hey, there's a jazz concert tonight in my hometown. That's south, that's very forgotten place in the 80s, you know, really. And I said, jazz, fuck, I hate jazz. Jazz is for
well-dressed people,
you know. Well, it's free. My uncle organized it. We have to go. I went there, and it was Sun Ra. It was like a baseball bat in my forehead, like this. it really opened my mind, and I jumped into free jazz like this. That's free music.
Wow. But you know, in a way, that's still punk.
Yeah,
punk thinking.
Yeah, that's it. That's
Also, living situations that makes me understand that the process, each person process is so different.
Yeah.
Because, for example, once we were talking with Phil Minton, you know, and I don't know why, maybe I just named King Crimson, you know. Then he said, King Crimson is crap. And I said, well, no, they are not. And he told me, okay, let me listen a song by King Crimson that you like. So I put Red on, and I said, I really love this album. And he was listening to it. And then he said, well, that's crap. And I said, wow, how can you say that? And he told me, well, in those years, there was art rock.
Yeah.
Fucking art rock to be played in the stadium with the huge PA and a lot of hordes of people.
Yeah.
And there were the Henry Cow. I was playing with the Henry Cow. And so I said, of course, okay, that's a big difference for you. You were living this and that's a big difference. I mean, I was not living this and I reached Henry Cow through King Crimson.
Yeah.
You know, I first heard King Crimson, then going further and further, I could listen to Henry Cow and say, wow.
And also, you experience only the music on a record.
Yeah.
But what all of us can do about the music made when we were not born or too young.
Too young.
So
or wrong land.
Or wrong land, yeah. Or wrong land. And Italy is a wrong land. I think you know. No, well, it is.
PFM was kind of in that scene.
Yeah. But I know that PFM probably was a very good band compared to
international band. I knew them as a teenager. Maybe the only Italian rock band I knew.
Well, they were very good.
I think they were the only band in the 70s who made a Peel session.
Peel session? John Peel.
Yeah, I think they were the only band.
I didn't know even that they made a John Peel session.
Well,
but anyway, they were touring in the States, for example.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, that's all I knew. So, what's the right land, the wrong land? It's all circumstance and subjectively say, all down to the case.
But you know that they all turned into Berlusconists.
They did.
Yeah, they are. Not they did. They are. They made the hymn.
Forza Italia chi l'ha fatto?
No. Patrick Givas e Frank Di George.
No.
Che scherzo.
Him, H-Y-M-N.
H-Y-M-N?
Yeah, him is like a church song.
Him, yeah.
Spatuzza ha fatto il nome di Berlusconi stamattina.
Chi?
Spatuzza.
Spatuzza è un pentino?
Ok.
Oh, we now discovered that Berlusconi is linked with the mafia, you know.
But just now, you discovered just now.
And there are rumors.
This morning, at 10 o'clock.
There are rumors.
Not before. At 10 o'clock. Yeah.
How do you say a guy from the mafia that then works with the justice against the mafia?
Oh, collaborator.
Collaborator. Yeah.
Informer.
Collaborator. Collaborator.
Informer, yeah. Omerta, who gives up on Omerta? Oh, betray?
Well, collaborator.
Well, Omerta. Betray Omerta. No more. They have the U.S. too.
Yeah, I think that's the only way that justice has to.
Yeah, because it was too secret. And
the end of the movie Goodfellas.
Yeah.
The guy who say, okay, no more.
Rat.
These are. Well,
there's bad slang words like rat. Rat. Stool pigeon.
Stool pigeon.
Yeah.
A rat. A rat, you mean a rat?
Yeah, like a kind of mouse.
Yeah.
But that's a slang for somebody who's working with the police against your thing.
Yes, I can imagine.
Or a thing like that. Yeah, Rimbaud, we were talking about this. Rimbaud wrote poems only 2 years. And ends up running guns.
Yeah.
In like Abyssinia or something. Not very artistic life later. Mm-hmm. Some people, they don't, not like Elvin Jones playing drums all the way to the end. Or there's a man now, Pine Top Perkins, his piano player from Mississippi. He started at 16. He's been playing 80 years.
No.
played with Muddy Waters a bunch of years. Uh-huh. But they don't change. They stay with the music. But
and you were talking about this man yesterday night. Yeah. It made me think, made me remember, I met once one old man who was 90-something.
Yeah.
So, and he always played piano on boats.
Yeah.
Crossing the ocean.
Yeah.
So only wow. piano bar music.
Right.
But for 8 years. Wow. So not only stuck with this piano because he's living out there, but no one ever listened to him.
Right, he's back.
And it's never been recorded. I was really thinking about recording him.
Wow.
Whatever he wants to play.
La batteria la tua.
Yeah, this story. This cat has been playing on boats.
For it's not like I met this man in Torino, and he was from Viareggio, and he was 90 something, and he always played piano bar on boats, and in the background he was playing in a restaurant.
And he's in the background. Nobody's really listening.
And nobody ever listened to him to all his life, and he never recorded a single note probably. So he truly played all his life, but
isn't that a trip? Mm. I mean, it's a real trip.
Well, it's like this with a lot of folk players.
Oh yeah, gypsy.
Gypsy. Well, I don't know. I mean, to me in Italian, folk is something negative, but I understand that to talk with
folk, I mean traditional folk.
Folk, I mean traditional.
Yeah.
Like folk music for me is a traditional.
But I mean,
well, genre, style of music.
Yeah, it's a style of music, you know.
Peter Paul and Mary.
When you play at a party, people dance to your music at least. So they listen. I mean, it's not a concert where you listen and say, oh, these two notes are really good. Oh, this chord is. I mean, it's useful, but when you play in a restaurant or in a boat, in a restaurant in a boat, or have rich people, you have to play quiet.
Yeah, no focus.
And
on
this moves as possible.
Their background.
Yeah, really background.
Oh yeah. Well, it's almost being like a Muzak in the mall.
Yeah. Live music.
Live guy.
Handmade. Folk music. Live music.
This is some ideas, opinions of where jazz came from. Hmm. It was whorehouse music. Mm. They didn't have the radios. Somebody had to be playing, so you know. And jasmine, a very strong smell, because the fuck smells. So they said, and the guy playing that long get bored out of his head, so start improvising. Yeah.
That's where Billie Holiday heard the
She music. Was a towel girl in a whorehouse. So, you know, strange beginnings of things.
Yes, I know.
That's, you don't know how they're going to turn out.
I mean, when I was in the in the 80s in my hometown in the south, for me jazz was what jazz for the Italians and in the province of Italians, you know.
Yeah.
So jazz was really
very mannered.
Yeah. So
not inventive.
It was not John Coltrane. You know. I mean, I played with a lot of jazz musicians in this group with Jacopo, and I always joke with them because I say I hate jazz, I fuck jazz, but I love John Coltrane, I love Mingus, Eric Toffi, I love
Eric
those
Duff.
Musicians.
Albert
Albert Tyler. Well, no, that's not jazz already.
You know, John Coltrane took a lot of heat in his last days. They even called it anti-jazz. Downbeat, you know.
Elvin
Jones got a lot of problems. You know, you're not playing it right.
Meditations is a good record for me to go to sleep. I put Meditations on and then I go to sleep.
Oh yeah, but at the time, in the moment, they were doing very revolutionary things with a genre that was supposed to be called revolutionary. It had already become. The old joke is Thelonious Monk would have never won the Thelonious Monk contest because the rules get solid. Right?
Yeah.
No, you know, and they won't let it go.
Yeah.
Humans are like this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But I mean, everything is
orthodoxy.
Like
orthodoxy. Mm. And but then they celebrate the rebel, but he's in a glass box, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. That's why. I mean, when a lot of younger kids came to me and they were talking about hardcore, yeah. And they were talking about, well, that's old school, well, that's new school, and that's, that was already over. I mean, well, if you are talking about schools and the hardcore, these words don't match to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, that's music. Now that's music. What are called to the put more in the music scene?
Yeah.
Probably to me was already done. Then old school, new school. That was
like crust. I've heard all these new words.
That was a shit. Commercial shit.
Part of
to
this,
me.
I think. Yeah, I think it's fallout. You know, fallout like radiation. Effects of marketing.
They
sell stuff by making labels.
Yeah.
So it affects our perception of art. We have to have genre thinking. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't have a label, maybe it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, Mr. Eco, Umberto Eco in the semiotics.
Yeah.
And this thing that we're trapped in these, or Mr. Wittgenstein in the semantics, in this, the word games,
uh-huh.
And get in the way of the art. The way we went around it was like punk game style of music. Uh-huh. It's a state of mind.
Yeah. That was
the style of music's up to each band, each guy making the music.
Uh-huh.
You know, unless you're very concerned with what boxes to put your records in or sell your records from.
It was
a big problem early punk in US
.
Because in the chain stores
.
Right, one company has many stores all around called chain store. They would put them in the import bin.
Import.
We weren't imports. We were US guys. But they didn't have a folk or a prog. You know, punk was kind of a bad word. They wouldn't even have that. So you'd be an import. Imported from Lawndale, you know, San Pedro.
And I remember bands who was writing straight on the cover of a 7-inch, don't buy this in a record shop.
Well, Crash would tell you how much to pay. This was somehow trying to get around.
I mean, the last album I did with the price on it, where we as band, we were writing how much you must pay, it was 95 maybe. And it started probably in 70.
Well, I remember Crash, don't pay any more.
Don't pay more than 97. So for 20 years, one of the points, and then everybody gave up.
But like you said, these are young
people.
He's talking about young people. So sometimes we say the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, no, of course, that's it. But I mean, of course it's not general. Because of course there's young people that care, that have brain, and then...
And actually, compared to the young people in my day, more open-minded.
Yeah.
They will listen to music 30, 40 years ago. Old, no problem. Even like a Black Sabbath, that's an old band. Yeah. A young person will hear that. When I'm my age... No, you wouldn't listen to something 5 years old. That Woodstock movie, Shana Noah, comes on. You're like, fuck this. My dad's music. You know, fuck this shit. Dad rock. You know? Young people, not so easy to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a trip. More open-minded. So I wouldn't say everything's bad or everything's exactly the same. But when I hear these labels, it's like, man, we didn't change anything. In that way.
Yeah.
They got to put a label.
Yeah.
I think also the old school, and this is kind of a sad thing, some people think all the musics have been invented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the old school is more authentic. What they're doing now isn't real. They feel bad because they didn't invent it, and they can only borrow. I hear this a lot of times. People tell me, you were lucky. I wanted to be born when you were. And that's...
Like
I could say that.
Like that guy in Turin.
Yeah.
Mm.
Alex.
Mm.
Yeah, great guy. They're convinced they're in the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
You're in your time.
Mm. That's it.
And there's going to be another shift after you.
This is why I think that when you talk about school, old, new, and hardcore, you are missing the point, because hardcore is now. And if there's nothing more, there's nothing more. The idea of inventing something is useless. I mean, I don't think you make the new thing saying, this is the new thing. No, this is what I want to do. I don't care if it's new, if it's old, I don't care of anything of this. This is mine.
there's a strange idea of authentic. Mm. But in a way, art is almost in defiance of authentic. For it's used for transcend, to get over. Maybe your reality is so hard, you have to come up with a dream.
Is a strange concept. Yeah.
Very abstract, man. Which is funny because you're looking for reality.
Yeah, like,
but,
like Neil Young. Neil Young. The most American Canadians ever. Like, he's Canadian.
He's Canadian, His father was like
I was convinced that he was from Tennessee or somewhere.
He's a Winnipeg. And his father's big guy, a broadcaster for hockey. Yeah. He's not riding a horse. Although, Winnipeg is kind of out there. I mean, it's a lonely town. There's not a lot out there. Hard winters. It's in the prairie, and there's no mountains, so the wind comes down from the North Pole. And I could see him wanting to live in California. He started, I think first was Buffalo, right? Buffalo Springfield. But yeah, people don't know. But that's what a lot of actors are Canadian. I think Captain Kirk, William Shatner. There's all. The whole idea of being authentic. Strange.
Yeah,
but
an authentic is a concept. It's a dangerous concept also.
It can be used to manipulate situations. Right?
Yeah, so
then we were talking about Mr. Berlusconi. Who's in charge of how history is interpreted, and this can be scary. See if they own some television stations. Yeah, they can have very big power. And
But I think that somehow in the punk movement, you can call authentic what was really do-it-yourself attitude. You know,
ethic.
Yeah, this is what I think. To me, music is ethic. This is why I hate metal. that's why. No, really. I'm joking because, of course, I know that I've missed a lot, because when I was 27, maybe, they made me listen, I don't know, the first Black Sabbath album, you say?
It's called Black Sabbath.
Yeah, and then I could listen to it and say, well, no, that's good in it. That's something that I like it. But when I was 17, no. Because that was something, and there was something that was just refusing it.
Yeah.
When there was the first way to connect somehow with what you were refusing, I really can tell you that I could smell it from the sound of punk bands. For example, we had punk bands here in Italy that when I was listening to, just with the lyrics and with the way they were sounding, I just could imagine that they were signing up with a major in as soon as they could, and they did.
To be corporate punk.
Yeah, you know, that's it. So that was like, I mean, there are a lot of guys now in Italy that continue on the do-it-yourself scene.
They go on,
they go farther.
Yeah.
They are always more and more and more and more in a ghetto somehow, because it's true what you say about the open mind guys, but it's also true that the way that the system puts you in a ghetto is stronger and stronger, because they have the really, really strong weapons now, because television is not what was 25 years ago. I'm talking about Italy, but I think it's the same worldwide.
Worldwide. Good point.
So,
can we continue, because we're at the end of the second hour?
Oh, sorry.
No, I want to continue. But December 4th, 2009, Watt from Peter Show, this was second hour. Hang tight for hour three. December 4th, 2009, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Yeah, that's your band, Sicori.
Mm-hmm.
And with children's slaves, make children's toys. Wait, your pad here.
Mm-hmm.
Can, your house.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Slang, sorry. And actually, because of our recording situation going bad, you were our man.
Yeah,
but you were a little south, and we went to a place that was north by the next gig. But thanks for being there for us. And downstairs was the room, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. You make music in your own house.
Yeah. That's where also this album is being recorded.
This album was right below us, because we're in the kitchen now.
Mm.
And this potato, cauliflower?
Yeah.
Great. Great show. Thank you. I want to know how you got started. How old are you now?
Almost 37.
Okay. And how'd you get started with music? How old were you?
I was 14, more or less.
Yeah.
And, I was playing, like everyone in Italy, flute, straight flute at school. Like
oh, when really?
I was
what
11.
Town, here?
In Pistoia.
Okay.
I'm from a small town.
Yeah.
And so I was enjoying playing flute, but like this. And then when I was 14, I start beating with two pieces of wood on every surface, like the couch, and I was gathering cardboard boxes to beat over.
Cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after 1 year, I decided to see if I was able to buy a drum kit.
Yeah.
And in my mind, having two real drumsticks and a drum kit made me a drummer.
Ah.
Because...
What were you listening to at the time?
Mostly metal.
Metal.
Let's say, everything with a distorted guitar. Mostly this. Everything with a distorted guitar.
Did you have
guitar.
Music friends?
Not at the beginning.
Yeah.
But then when I went to high school...
Well, how long did you beat on the boxes in the wood? Did you get a drum set eventually? 1 year.
1 year, I guess. And then I
how
got
did you get the set?
For my birthday, I saved money.
Your parents? You bought
well,
yourself.
Yeah. But without cymbals.
Okay, interesting.
And I had no idea where to put all the elements of a drum kit. So,
really?
Like the snare goes on the left,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Fourth on the right. No idea.
Self-taught.
Self-ignorant. So I play the drums for a while without cymbals. And then there's a really nice cymbal factory in Pistoia.
Yeah.
UFIP.
Yeah, UFIP.
And so
Andrea,
I went...
Andrea, you have a UFIP.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I went there, and I was like 15 years old, and the chief, the director of the factory, open me a room with a drum kit, say, what music you like rock, okay. And he mount me like 10, 12 cymbals, say, play and choose.
Wow.
And I was really unable to play, so I tried and every cymbal seems fantastic.
Yeah.
And at the end I choose a couple of cymbals and he said, you don't know too much to play drums, that much. I say, no. I can suggest you one really good drum teacher.
Oh.
And I went to these guys. And he said, show me how you play. And I was playing really almost random.
No beats.
No, yeah.
Because when you
barely.
Were doing this, you weren't playing with other guys. You were just...
No, I was like...
Man alone. Man
yeah,
alone.
Listening to...
Oh, solo mio.
Yeah, listening to the radio and trying to follow.
Oh, you're playing the radio?
Yeah. I was
okay.
Listening to music, like putting on an LP
record
or television.
That's what we did.
And every kind of, I mean, turn on the television, there's some music, and
yeah.
I try to follow.
Yeah.
And so this guy say, okay, you can play like that.
Yeah.
And go on with this, or you can play this way, so you can do this and that and.
Yeah.
He was a rock drummer.
He was a rock drummer.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Mac Poldo.
Ginger Baker.
And he was a friend of Ginger Baker.
I heard Ginger Baker did live in Italy for a while.
Yeah, he was living near Pistoia. And this teacher was
after
his friend.
Cream, he
yeah. He was telling me stories like, I'm destroyed, like my arm are destroyed because yesterday I've been at Ginger Baker's house all the afternoon building a stone wall. So bring him a big stone.
Yeah.
And I can't stand it.
So I started studying.
He starts teaching you.
Yeah, I started studying with this man.
And you're like 15, 16?
15. From 15 to 18, I had my first band. But my very, very first band I was playing, I was supposed to take the bass man role.
Ah!
But I cannot afford to have a bass.
Ah.
So somebody lent me a guitar.
Yeah.
With an electric guitar with the tone closed. And I was plucking
my fingers. You turned the tone down so it'd be all bassy. Bass. Yeah. Okay.
And I like it to play also bass and guitars, but I have no money. So I self-built some kind of string instrument when I was 16.
Wow.
And I was tying like a microphone with scotch tape to amplify it, or a loudspeaker with a cable and a jack to pick up the vibrations and amplify it.
Wow.
So that's more or less how I started.
Yeah, but that's great. That's not just going to the mall and say, hey,
no.
You know, Jimmy Page plays one like that. Can I play that? I think that's intense.
My first amplifier was a Philips stereo system.
Philips stereo.
From my parents. Okay. And that's are still
the speakers.
The speakers.
Wow.
They're handmade from a friend of my father in 1968. Wow. And they still work.
So you play drums.
I play drums.
And you make a band.
Make a band. And
what are you writing the songs?
All together.
Collaborate.
Yeah. It was a trio, rock trio.
What's this band called?
It was called Sues Sumus in Latin, which means we are pigs.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this name. So.
And the first, as I noticed, you asked me for the first song.
Yeah.
I was, while you were asking to everybody, I said, what's the first song we can play?
You wrote.
And it was Musica da Cani, which means dog's music.
Dog music. Wow. Did you play gigs?
Yeah, a few. In our city and environments, yeah.
Okay.
In any kind of situation.
Party, club?
On the road, on a sidewalk.
Okay.
Or in a small square or...
Okay. Whatever. After school, after high school, where do you take music?
I started playing with many bands, local bands, with several instruments. So
your
band
pigs was over.
Yeah, pigs were standing for 3-4 years maybe.
Okay.
But then
did
I started...
Did you make any recording?
Demo with Walkman.
With the Walkman.
Yeah. Okay. But we released a demo tape.
You released it? Yeah. Okay, great. That's important. So you start playing with other people.
Yeah. In my hometown, and then in Florence, and then in Italy. And so, like in Viz.
Oh, you mean you're playing with guys in other towns?
Year after year. I mean.
Ah.
I start playing with a band from Bari, south of Italy.
Yeah, in the hill.
Yeah.
I played in Melpignan.
Yeah. Not far away from Empignan.
Yeah.
And I started playing with them in 94. So imagine, this first band I was talking about is 89.
Okay.
90. So 5 years later, I was already playing with a band from the south of Italy.
Wow.
And I made the first real recording in a studio with them. And the
what
band
they
was
call?
Called Bzbzweu. And they was playing a kind... We stayed together for... 10 years.
Yeah. Wow.
And we recorded a few EPs, album, 7 inches, self released.
Yeah.
No, except the last one was with a independent label from Milan.
Okay.
And we split in the studio. Like we finish recording, and the guitar player say, "Okay, finally, we recorded. We are done. We don't play no more."
Band's done. Yeah. Over. Finito. Wow. Not a fight, just agree.
No, I mean, he agreed with himself.
What, there was Capo, the band Capo?
Kind of, yeah. We had, his family name is Biancofiore. We had one song who was called Parametro Biancofiore.
Yeah.
Like, because he decided when to change, when to go up, when to go down. No, really powerful person.
Personality. Really,
yeah, no, one of my brothers. One of my brothers.
Yeah. I understand. You got involved with a lot of other projects.
Mm. And
you started going out of Italy.
Yeah, I've been in 2000, first time in the U.S.
Yeah.
And invited by a band from Minneapolis called Koch ESP.
Oh.
Harsh Noise.
Yeah.
And then I tried to build my a project with my own compositions with musicians in Chicago, in Providence, in New York. So I've been in these three cities.
All from the drums.
I was playing drums or conducting. From the drums.
So like Andrea, it's interesting, because the tradition in U.S. is drummers, well, Dave Grohl, I guess, but he plays guitar. But no, he's really a sideman, you know, in certain ways. Maybe kind of a stereotype of Ringo, right? When you think of the Beatles, right, you don't think of him as the song man.
Yeah,
I like this idea. To me, more
because and my musical knowledge was not that much more than what I was knowing when I was playing flute at 11 years old.
You learned by doing.
That's all the notes I
you learned by doing.
And then slowly I say, okay, I can play guitar. So this note with this note is a fifth. Yes. Okay, this is a third, this is a minor third, this is a major third. Okay, so I can relate from the flute and the guitar.
Yeah.
And at that time, it was 10 years ago. That's all the knowledge I had. So I was composing on guitar and writing on paper and trying to imagine what a saxophone could play out of this. So write a saxophone line or a trumpet line.
Yeah.
And I was starting playing saxophone also toward 94 with this Zueo. I was playing saxophone, and I joined the band. I was playing the saxophone since 6 months.
Whoa!
And I never studied any other instrument. I only studied drums. All the others.
John Fogerty taught himself saxophone.
Hmm?
Creedence Clearwater.
Mm-hmm.
You know the singer, John Fogerty taught himself saxophone.
But not. I don't think it's that.
He played hard. It on the records.
Hmm. I mean, violin is a hard instrument.
To make some music with.
To make some music.
I think to make noise is not too difficult.
Yeah, I mean, to make a good sound out of violin is really hard.
And harp.
Harp.
Some instruments are tough. Brass with the mouthpiece is difficult.
It's difficult.
I tried to do baritone horn. Mm-hmm. God damn it, kicked my ass.
Yeah, it's hard.
There's a thing.
I had a pocket trumpet, but I use it for fun. I mean, to have fun, to hear your breath who becomes music, sound.
Yeah.
And I like it too much, but I can't tell. I can't say that I can play the trumpet.
But besides, what about in other parts of Europe? You've been.
Yeah, I start playing also with this French Italian band.
Yeah.
Called L'Enfance Rouge.
Yeah.
And that's the first band with I was playing. I played with Ovo for the first almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And with them I did the first real tour. So getting in a van and going far away for like 1 month and a half, eating potatoes because we have no more money, in the most incredible situation, Istanbul, in Skopje, and that taught me, I learned that it was possible actually to organize yourself a long tour in places where you don't know anyone.
Right.
And from DIY basis.
Yeah.
I was touring with another band, it was a French-Canadian.
Yeah.
And it was called NNY.
Yeah.
It's another trio, very, very brilliant, like a mix of hardcore, heavy metal, and dance music.
Wow.
With a lot of clothings. Everyone was changing clothings every 2 songs, so everything was going. Was really, really brilliant. Really brilliant. So they told me that it was possible to do things by yourself for real.
Yeah.
I mean, I was already releasing my own tapes.
Yeah.
My own records or yeah. finding local concerts. But to me, to go to Istanbul.
Yeah.
With a van, paying all the fuel with concerts.
Yeah.
Finding those concerts and coming back was impossible. And they showed me was not only possible, but not so hard and very funny.
Yeah.
We passed through a lot of, weird and bad situations. We went to play in Macedonia.
Yeah.
While there was a civil war.
Oh, yeah.
And we was coming from Bulgaria. So we called the embassy in Macedonia from Bulgaria.
Yeah.
And they said, there's no problem in Macedonia. Where are you now? In Bulgaria. In Bulgaria there's problems. And I was afraid because we was watching television and there was tanks shooting.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guitar player from the other band was much more experienced than me.
Yeah.
He told me, listen, if there's really a big problem in Macedonia, they won't let us cross the border.
Yeah.
But there's somebody who's really waiting for us there.
Yeah.
So it's a person.
Yeah.
It's somebody. It's not... I mean, it's someone. Not somebody.
Yeah.
It's someone. It's called Tosho Filipowski. And he really cares about us to go there.
Yeah.
Because he's organized a festival for bringing a peace feeling in the country. That is possible.
Peace. Yeah.
And so every other band canceled. And if we can go there, I want to go there. And I said, okay, you're right. And we went there, and we had to pass through the countryside, where we saw trench.
Yeah.
We saw barbed wire.
Barbed wire.
We saw missile already shooted.
Yeah, shot missile.
And then there was a roadblock, and the roadblock was so one guy with a bazooka pointing to our van, and the war was with Albania.
Yeah.
And the guy who with the machine gun came to the van and said, Albanians? I said, no, Italians. Just to cut it raw because we're Italian, French, Canadian.
Sure, sure.
Said, what are you doing here? I mean, in the middle of nowhere, in the countryside, in Macedonia, playing music. And we were talking with really basic English.
Yeah, yeah.
Said, playing music. Ah, heavy metal. And saying no, shit, no heavy metal. No. So okay, and they let us pass.
Wow.
And we
actually gig in Skopje.
Yeah, and we played in Skopje.
I played it with the Stooges. Iggy met the president. He was like 36 or something. He's a young guy. But new country. But actually, yeah. Alexander the Great was born there. It's not a new country. It's really old.
Mother Teresa was born there.
Yeah.
Her house was in the main square of Skopje. And when the guy with the bazooka stopped us, I thought, do I really want to risk my life to blow in my saxophone some free jazz noise stuff?
Yeah.
Say, yes.
Great.
Because that's the life I choose.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too easy to go play in a theater where they pay you a lot of money because they know you.
Yeah.
Say, you are that person. You're going to bring me a lot of money because your name will fill the theater.
Yeah.
It's not my case.
Yeah, yeah.
But, okay, that's easy. I mean, that's how things goes. And, I mean, you do this for living, to pay the landlord. You go in a theater. And it's okay. But why you do music is for me it's to talk to people, to meet people, to learn from people, to different situation, to improve myself as human being.
Yeah, I agree. It has to be passion from the heart. Fire.
So okay, you risk to be shooted. You want to go or not?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. But first, I had to be in the situation of asking me the question. Because it's really it's also easy to stay at home and say, yeah, I will play
battlefield.
In a battlefield, yeah.
Wow. And then, you know, music almost every military unit has some band, military band. Music can get twisted up into weird things.
Yeah. There's a lot of African LPs sent by military for military.
Yeah.
A general Hicks playing guitar and singing.
I think John Coltrane's first recording, he's in the Navy.
Albert Tyler recordings are in the Navy. I have one.
So sometimes... I think Billy Cox, Jimmy's bass player, old Army band.
Chet Baker was playing in the military band in the Army.
Yeah, taking music into your own hands.
Mm.
I think strong. I like your...
What was the discussion? Coming back to visit Gigotti band, Andrea also is part of Gigotti, is the drummer. And there's this piano player, Tolan McDonald from the US, who brought a lot of ideas about that. And we had a long conversation about music, and we, as the main point of this band, focus is to speak about war, conflicts.
Ah.
So we made a first album about the war seen by soldiers from a battlefield. This one is the second, is from the victims, people who suffer about war, from war. And the next one is going to be from the point of view of the people who act and put their life to try to stop
against
war.
Against.
And so we went to on this discussion about music being a weapon or... Yeah, what? Because I can't remember.
Tool.
A tool, okay.
A tool, it's not a weapon.
A tool, I like that. A tool. A hammer, build a house, bash somebody's head in with it. It's actually the guy wielding the hammer. How'd you get into drums, Andrea?
Mostly like him, beating on cardboards when I was...
A teenager?
Yeah, 14, 15, I was into punk music.
What town? In the south?
Yeah, in the south. No, close to Bari. It's 80 kilometers south from Bari. And beating cardboards and listening to punk, Italian punk music of the 80s. You know, that's...
Yeah. You learned a fast two-step, huh?
Well, not so much.
Did you make your own band? Or do you join bands?
Well, I mean, I was not playing drum. I was not playing anything. I loved instruments. You know, when you get close to an instrument and you say, "Wow, it sounds! It can make like this." Then I'm not a traditional instrumental player.
Yeah.
I just can strum a lot of instruments. I can't play any of them. You know?
Okay.
And I love it.
Okay.
Because I really love. So it's always like, Jacopo plays a lot of instruments. We are playing a lot in a lot of projects together.
Yeah.
And then it's very fun because we never play the same instruments together. You know, sometimes he plays guitar and saxophone and I'm playing saxophone.
Or he's playing drums. He plays bass, he plays guitar, he plays saxophone.
Or I'm playing drums, he's playing guitar. So it's always knowing a guy with a different point of view.
Yeah, yeah.
Your point of view as a drummer, as a saxophone player, and his point of view as a saxophone player.
And a drummer. And every...
Juxtapose.
Every band or project we are involved with is radically different also.
Yeah, mostly radically different. It's like we love to investigate.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of different...
Explore.
Yeah, to explore.
Yeah, yeah, possibility.
Possibility, yeah, that's it.
Would you go... I'm interested, and I'm sure listeners, how would you tell them about this scene? Would you call it a scene that your music's part of in Italy?
One of the things we was talking about that not so far away, not so long ago.
Yeah.
And it's about the difference. It's the difference from being in a scene and being part of a family. And I think me and Andrea had more of a feeling of being part of a family.
Okay.
Very wide, very sparse, very different.
Yeah.
But people who... Everyone thinks with his own mind about what they want to do.
Yeah.
And try to realize it.
Yeah.
So it's part of this mentality is we do it yourself, part is collaborator, part is organizing concerts, part is recording. I mean, Andrea, one of his main goals in life, I think, is also to be a sound engineer, to record.
Yes, I mean, I started with working on recording tools when I was 21, and that was mainly for a kind of do-it-yourself attitude, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
We have to record ourselves, we have to print our music, we have to do everything by ourselves, because that's the only way
it's going to get done.
We were talking before, authentic. You know? Well, that's me. Yeah. I do it with all my mistakes, with all with everything, but that's me.
Clamps. You know about this word clamps?
Clamps.
Clamps
is?
Clamps is an old word for mistakes.
Okay.
Okay.
You don't know the Buddy Rich tape?
No.
No Buddy Rich tape. No.
I play the Buddy Rich tape.
Motherfuckers sit out there and crap all over this fucking joint. What do you think this is, anyhow? What kind of plan do you think this is? What kind of miscue do you call this? What fucking band do you think you're playing on, motherfuckers? You wanna fuck with me on a bad band? Shut that fucking door. I'm up there working my balls off, trying to do somebody a favor, and you motherfuckers are sucking all over this joint. What kind of trumpet section do you call tonight? And saxophones? You gotta fucking be kidding me! How dare you call yourselves professional? Assholes are playing like fucking children out there! You got your professional fuck you! This boss. You got your fucking heart so far deep in the fucking bell, we don't need to have a band here tonight! Your bracer won't be heard, everybody can hear your fucking clamps out there, you don't need a mic for that! We got too much fucking time, blow on black. Shit! You stand out here all fucking night trying to blow your fucking brains out when it comes time to play. What are you playing, clams? You got nowhere to fucking go to next year, because if I hear one fucking clam from anybody, you ban it. One clam, and this whole fucking band is through tonight. Try me. You got front fucking nerves, lights off, nothing to do. And you're gonna play this kind of shit for me? Fuck all of you! You're not doing me any fucking favors, you're breaking my heart up there! I gotta go up there and be embarrassed by you motherfuckers! I play with the greatest fucking musicians in the world, how dare you play like that for me? How dare you try to play like that for me? Assholes. I get 15 fucking kids in rehearsal, the fucking time of this band is incredible! We don't play two fucking bars in one fucking tempo! Not one! You can't keep fucking time and play, there's too many things to do, isn't there? You can't fight your fucking foot and play! You're all over the fucking place, missed you after missed you! You try one fuck up the next set, and when you get back to the office, you'll need another fucking job. Count on it! Get out of my fucking bus!
And if you can't do it, get off my fucking band tonight! You had a day off yesterday and you come back like this and you suck! What the fuck kind of music do you think you're playing here anyhow? And who do you think you're playing for? You think I tolerate that shit? You're worse than any fucking high school band I ever heard! You come in wrong because you leave one fucking beat out, you can't find one! I don't know what kind of drummers you think you're playing with, but you play with me or you get out. And I mean now. I don't need this shit. I have a home in Palm Springs that I can go and sit on my ass the rest of my life and not worry about a fucking thing. I don't have to meet your fucking payroll and play you for playing like a fucking high school dropout. How dare you do that? Assholes. You can't play a simple fucking tune, you can't hold a chord, you can't play time when you play solos. What kind of solos am I hearing tonight? You want to rehearse and practice, get a fucking band in Sydney and play the kind of shit you want. Over here you play time. You don't like what I play, get the fuck out. I'm tired of putting up with you, I'm tired of signing for you, I'm tired of you, period. And I'm tired of all of you guys that can't go play a fucking job for 45 fucking minutes. You got it too fucking easy, goddammit. I'll make it so fucking tough you won't be able to breathe around here. How many fucking bands do you think you've got to go to work in? If I decide to quit, you are suck. You got nothing. Try it. You think I'm fooling? You can quit tonight. I'm only gonna knock my fucking brains out, and I gotta carry you and pay you at the same time. Fuck you. When I go back inside, I'm gonna hear 110% perfection. Or I'll leave you here. I'll take you as far as you can, and you got it. Try me. Fucking. Try me the next test and see if you get away with one thing of shit. You try it. I'll fire you on a fucking bastard. You not only insult me, but you insult yourself. Don't you have any more pride? Where's your fucking pride? Where's your professionalism? Asshole. That's what they like. Where's your own fucking pride in yourself? Why don't you have it here? You're so fucking dumb that you don't have any pride.
Or try me.
I didn't need to try.
Then shut up. Well, I just appreciate, you know, being talked to like you. I try to talk to you like a human being, and you talk back all the time. Now keep your fucking mouth shut, or I'll show you what it's like. That's all.
Okay, but you have no right to threaten.
I'm not threatening you, I'm telling you. You don't want to do what I want in my band, I'm telling you.
Okay.
Just shut up.
I will.
All right. Get that understood by everybody. I want him off. I don't want him on the band thing. Two bones. Anytime you're ready.
Yeah, that was Buddy Rich on the bus and inspiring his troops. I don't know that, where we come from, where we're going with music. It's yeah. Very personal. Some encouragements we go to help move it along. Some people have an idea where it's going. Mr. Buddy there had an idea of what it should be and was kind of disappointed a little bit. And actually, I heard from some other people that he was actually very generous too.
I mean, it wasn't really.
I don't know
if there's
a lot
of.
I think it's three or four different situations, but they're all on the bus because you hear the motor. Going like that, but
yeah, being in a band is not always easy.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Were you ever in situations a little bit like that?
No.
Okay.
No, not like this. Maybe
I'm not saying you were acting that way. Did you have
staying silent for a couple of days?
Ah, it's almost as intense as that, maybe.
Well,
maybe he got it out of his system. We say.
Yeah, let's say it's not good to be recorded if you stay silent for 2 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Where do you think scene is going right now with you guys in Italy? Yeah.
You first.
Well, I think, Andrea. Of course, there are a lot of people that work in interesting areas of music. I think, to me, the situation in Italy is like you're a part of the scene or you're a part of the family, as we were talking.
Oh, yeah.
Telling you before. I mean, part of the scene is. Also being a part of a lot of useless stuff about music, that's my idea.
Well, like social?
No, well, that's like creating contacts, you know, it's like you are a part of the scene.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you know him.
You know him, so you're a good guy.
Yeah.
You are working with him, so useless stuff.
What's real is the work.
It's turning this occupation into a work. I mean, I love music. I live with music. But that's my life. That's not my work.
Yeah.
And I think for Jacopo it's the same. I mean, he's always thinking about music. He's always working on music.
Yeah.
And of course, somehow, as you're talking about landlords, it's a problem. But if you are following something different than just money,
yeah,
is that you're involved into so many other stuff that's more interesting. So we know a lot of people, here in Italy that work with even with kind of music that maybe I don't like it, you know. But that's it's a useless condition for me to say that's not good music.
I
don't care. I love a lot the way people do their music.
The way they do it.
Yeah, if I don't like it, it's not so important. They are doing what they want to. And
What about, for examples?
Oh, well, I love a lot the music of groups, of course, of a lot of groups we are involved in, friendly, I mean.
Yeah.
For example, there is... in Italy, there is the Jealousy Party. There is a group where me and Jacopo are playing also.
Yeah.
But it's principally a trio. It's three guys, then it gets bigger, it can reach 12 people, can go to 5. It's like a moving creature, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love the way these guys are approaching music, are approaching printing records, and are approaching everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are organizing concerts, doing a lot of putting a lot of energy into something.
Yeah,
doing and radio shows and fanzines.
Just imagine making comics. Yeah. Or just things of something they are doing it.
Can you like tell me some bands and stuff?
Well, Chelsea Park, for example. Then I love a lot Fats Orchestra, that's doing a very, very interesting work in Milano.
Yeah.
Where they are they organize a situation where a lot of bands are playing, and they are generally into well, let's call it underground music, even if in Italian to me that's not a good way to tell it.
Yeah, why?
Well, because underground,
yeah,
it's an American word that to me sounds like something like independent scene, like all this stuff.
Oh, it's like a sound.
Well, no, it's
I would call something underground something that's not part of the commercial. Most people don't know of it. Yeah, I don't think it's a sound. I think it's up to those bands. It's a situation.
Yeah, it's a kind of situation
that they're not exposed and commercially promoted.
Yeah, well, but I would call that just to try to explain what I mean. There is underground that wants to go overground, and there's underground that loves to be in the underground.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Because they are free of being there. So I'm talking about these people.
They want autonomy.
They want to make a social work.
Yeah.
They are working in squats. They are working this kind of realities, because this is the way they want to be.
It gives them more autonomy. No, they don't have to compromise.
No. That's it. That's why I love this kind of people that they are part of.
I think maybe the word, when they came up with underground, that's what they were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
No compromise, autonomy.
Yeah, I know, but in Italy, we have a kind of dichotomy.
Dichotomy,
where underground can both mean people that are doing their bit, and people that somehow want to grow up.
It's just some step.
Yeah,
to get to another place.
It really depends if you think of your own career in a working term or a necessary term. I mean, I have a career since I don't want to be all the day the same. I want to grow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's not a matter of economy, it's a matter of myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There are a lot of people that want to do this, and I love and respect them, and if it's possible,
you feel part of that.
Yeah, I don't want to help them. I mean,
yeah, yeah, sure, sure, it's a great thing. So, what were they? What kind of orchestra in Milan?
Fats Orchestra.
Fats.
Yeah,
Fats.
It's not an orchestra. It's really a trio.
Yeah, yeah, but the name of it, Fats, like F A C S.
Yeah.
No, F-U-Z-Z.
Fuzz Orchestra, okay.
Fuzz Orchestra.
Thanks. Yeah. I don't know them, but see, this is what I want to learn so I can check out these musics. Mm.
And they are also, like, this project is also very political.
Yeah, that's it.
Because it was a rock trio.
Yeah.
And the bass player he put together a lot of devices, like a tape player, vinyl players, and other stuff. He built a kind of keyboard structure, like an old organ.
Yeah.
And he put all this stuff there, and he's playing with a structure in his head.
Yeah.
A lot of voices, original or original voices from fascist era. So both Mussolini and other people, and partisans. So part of the thing is also to speak about what happened during the fascism and after, especially about what is going on now in Milan, especially in
Berlusconi's town, right?
Yeah. So it's various feet like with the history, who's feedbacking in the music, who's re-feedbacking in the history.
Yeah.
And we are dealing with business, we are playing noise rock.
Yeah.
Creative noise rock.
Yeah.
Let's cut in, that's my definition, like, fine, in this moment, I don't think they describe themselves this way, I don't know.
Okay, no, but sure.
One thing I would say about this family we like is that all these people are creative in the sense that they are creating what they want. So not especially referring to a certain genre or style or music.
Or region. What about place? Do you think the bands are different because they come like a Milano band?
No more.
A Roma band?
No more.
Do you guys get like a band?
Well, that's scenes.
Well,
I mean,
maybe, but now it's less important. Where are you from?
In the 80s.
You know, there's an old fit saying from the 70s that was, not where you're from, it's where you're at.
Especially for hardcore, which is the music I know probably the best in Italy, especially in the 80s and 90s. And in the 80s, you can have a Roman hardcore sound. And Torino hardcore sound.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, or Milan hardcore sound.
Yeah.
But now, no. I don't think. But it is also true that I lost the contact with all the people who are playing styles.
Yeah.
Because we are more interested to find people and to stay with people, to get along with people, and to deal with people who are creating their own stuff.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
In this house, there was living here and there was recording here for years, a trio, like a power trio with accordion, double bass and half drum kit, I mean half pots and drums. and they are brilliant, they are still playing. And they are brilliant, and their music is kind of folk Italian music mixed with Balkan music, mixed with rock attitude, mixed with punk ethic.
Yeah.
So, how do you call it? You don't call it. You hear it.
You almost limit it by trying to call it something.
And this just show you that there's no need.
Yeah.
And these kind of people play in houses. We live in the country.
Sure.
We play in the summer. We can play outside the house.
So
you set up an evening and you have 200 people.
Yeah.
And this teach also to rockers.
That
music with accordion can be very, very good.
Right. Not so limited.
Very intense.
Yeah.
Very fast.
Not
there
so
are
cliche.
Virtuosos. There are incredibly virtuosos. Very instrumental.
I worry sometimes if a young person realizes, can music be different than an MTV video?
But for me, for example, coming
any television.
For me, coming from
switch off television, that's the first revolution.
I know.
Switch it off.
And something is that goes back as far as music, which is probably right with the beginning of man, for it to get manipulated.
Music is to stay together.
Yeah.
Music should be played to stay together.
Andrea, Jacobo, how did you meet Andrea?
Stefano.
I met Andrea first time because Rosalina Mar opened for L'Enfance Rouge.
Okay.
It was 7 years ago.
Eight years ago.
Stefano, I think I saw him, really saw the first time, in Pescara for Trasporti Marittimi, when you play with Three Quarters and Been Eliminated. Because with L'Enfance Rouge we were setting up this festival, and we invited them to play.
You saw him
before
in Florence at the Superficie Sonore.
Yeah, but I haven't speak probably.
Ah, okay.
Probably.
But actually, I think we speak for the first time yesterday night.
Yeah, speak for
for
real, yeah, for sure. In Pescara, we just. I remember you bringing you with two others to the place to sleep and staying in the street talking late at night, but it was mostly Valerio talking.
He's a Sicilian guy.
Okay. Where do you think the music scene in Italy is going to go? Of course you want it to go the way we're talking about.
Hopefully everywhere.
But what do you think? What would be your opinion? all for you guys.
But well, everywhere in the world there's good music and bad music.
Yeah, yeah.
And in Italy there's good music. I love people making good music here.
Do you think the situation is getting more open and more helpful to your ideal? These ideals you're talking about, interesting, exploring a family versus scene. Does it seem like, or is it going against that right now?
I will include them to in this opinion, but I will say no. Because historically, from my point of view, so since I was 15-20 years ago, I've seen the most part of squats closing, and the venues getting more conservative in programmation, and independent labels opening to becoming the new measure or getting
major
the
label,
the most hype band, oh, this very very sub underground band, through the help of some real independent ethically labels, come to certain visibility.
Yeah,
and then that could be the next big thing, and I want to get that.
It's called co-opt.
Yeah,
co-opt to scene.
So now I see this.
Yeah. What's your opinion?
I really agree with
Andreas. Both Andreas.
I hope that there's something.
Oh, of course. I mean, we're all hoping.
I don't think. I hope that underground music, or this kind of music development, could be made outside also of squats and venues or places where we used to where we grown up.
Yeah.
So, but I'm still wondering if there are. If there's a new generation coming. I mean, yesterday in Turin for the first time I met a 20 years old guy who is making music, who is making Catavetro, who's making trying to develop new music. But I don't know, I personally, Maybe because I'm too focused on what I'm doing now. Yeah. I'm wondering. I hope that there will be a new generation coming, 15 years old, 16 years old. I don't know how, but in a way. Now I don't have the perception that
that's happening. Okay.
I think there's something.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's something, and maybe we cannot see it because it's different.
Mm-hmm. But there are still people that is organizing concerts, like at home, for example, concerts in small situations. Mm. There is people in
like these cats.
Yeah. But it looks also that in order to survive, we are hiding ourselves.
Ah, yeah.
Somehow, if we see that we play all in houses, because it's good, because we want to do it.
You want the autonomy.
Yeah, but somehow, I really do agree with what they are saying.
Yeah.
But somehow I don't care a fuck because I mean, I know a lot of people that they are doing the, and I'm talking also about those guys present in this room now. I mean, I know a lot of people that's just doing what they want to do, and they are doing it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to care if there's people outside with the idea of making labels that just want to get the group on hype and stuff that exists. I know it exists, but I don't care. Fuck, it's not my part of the world. I know that there are people that want to do something, and I want to. I love to be mentally part of these guys. I don't care.
What
about the rest? I mean,
here's a saying you might find interesting. We say, if you're a farmer, we tell you, you want a good crop, use a lot of manure.
Use a lot of.
Un sacco di concime.
So I say, bring it on, motherfuckers. Sometimes, because the situation is weak,
environment, and Mr. Nietzsche, right? Mr. What doesn't kill us makes us stronger. You maybe need some friction.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a bad thing.
I think that now in Italy we have a really great problem. I mean, and the rest of the world knows, but we don't. And well, we are living troubles that come out from this situation. I mean, culturally, we don't care about anything that's not on TV, that's not on magazines, and this idea goes also in the independent scene. You know, it's all the same. It's all the same shit from the big part to the smallest part. Right. So whenever I see this kind of attitude, I say, okay, I'm not interested in you. I'm interested in this guy that's playing in his room just with his guitar and his amplifier. And since in these last 10 years, I have known a lot of these guys.
And
a lot of good music. I just want to talk about Filippo Giuffre, that's a friend of ours that's living in Bologna, and he plays guitar, and he's playing a solo guitar, and I really have known him 7 years ago when he just got his guitar on, and now he's a great guitar player for me. And so I see these guys, and they are not caring about all this shit we are talking about, so why should we focus on this ugly part of the world that exists?
Oh, because you had this...
Yeah, I mean, but I don't care.
But this... visitor from San Pedro.
I understand. I'm not
why you should not be that upset with it. But thank you for enlightening me to what's going on, and the people on the show that are listening. People are curious about what is going on with music in Italy right now. When we all get them into this living room, nobody will have to say anything on the radio. They'll all have an individual experience. But till we get there, I thank all four of you for speaking with me here, and you know, for to get to do these six gigs and make that album.
Thank you, Mike.
It is great for me.
Thank you.
You guys are inspiration for me. 30 years, and you have fire. Grazie. Yeah. This is the Watt from Pedro show, December 4th, 2009. Keep your powder dry.